Okay, so good morning. yes, I just feel we have had a beautiful time of worship. The guys just very stripped back, very simple, and that's my message this morning. I feel is a simple message, but what I have to share, I hope, will be an encouragement to you to maintain two important and basic spiritual disciplines, that of persisting in prayer and reading God's word. And I feel like, you know, Rich, as he summed up at the end of the worship time, when he said, you know, the importance of persisting in prayer, and that's one of the things that God has been speaking to me about. And so, I don't really have a title, but that's where we're going, just as I hope will be an encouragement to you to keep up those basic spiritual disciplines. So at the start of the year, for those of you who are part of the church, but there are some visitors here, we were given an invitation at the start of this year to read this book, Draw the Circle. And as we come this morning, we started it, we were encouraged to start on the 1st of January for 40 days. We will all have a different experience that we bring with this book today. Some of us perhaps have not even picked it up, and that might be for very good reasons, and I would encourage you, if you haven't, to pick it up and read it. It doesn't matter when you do it. Some of you may just not have been able to be bothered to do it. Some will have perhaps got halfway through and have thought, yeah, that was interesting, I'm finding it interesting, and I'm going to keep going, and I would encourage you to keep going and to finish it and to read it. For others, we've got to the end, and there have probably, I know for myself, lots of things to think about and pray about. For me, I felt I didn't see it really as a 40-day prayer challenge, but that actually it's a book with 40 days worth of challenge to the way we pray, to the way I pray. And so you can, it doesn't have to be done over a 40-day period. I think what it is doing is challenging us in the way we pray. And essentially, the book is encouraging us to identify areas, people, issues for prayer, and then to circle those things in prayer, to keep on praying until we see answers. And in theory, that sounds great, doesn't it? You know, there are some exciting testimonies in the book of answers to prayer. But actually, it says in the book on day 4 that we need to ask God to give us grace to sustain, the strength to stand firm, and the willpower to keep on keeping on. Because the reality is, it can be hard to persist in prayer. When there are people we have been praying for and issues and things that we've been praying for a long time, it can actually feel quite hard to keep circling. And this, my word today is an encouragement to keep going. So what I'd like to do is to share a passage of scripture with you. And as I read it, it really spoke to me about persisting in prayer. And I found it really exciting as I read it, and I meditated on it. So I hope you'll be encouraged by it too. And that it will be an encouragement to you as well to read God's word, to really get into his word and to read it. I would like you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to the passage of scripture that God spoke to me through, which is in Numbers 7, which in itself is, Numbers is not an easy book to persevere through. There are actually in chapter 7 there are 89 verses. I'm not going to read them all, but just to bear in mind that in Exodus we are told a lot of detail about the construction of the tabernacle and all the items that are needed to go into it for the tent of meeting. You know, there's a lot of detail back in Exodus, and so this is further on in the Old Testament, in Numbers. I'm going to read, first of all, in chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. So, when Moses finished setting up the tabernacle, He anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings. He also anointed and consecrated the altar and all its utensils. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of families who were the tribal leaders in charge of those who were counted, made offerings. And just to say that for those of you who are not familiar, we wouldn't want to presume, but that the 12 tribes of Israel are the descendants of Jacob, that Jacob's sons, and Jacob was later known as Israel, and his sons were the leaders of the tribes of Israel, and these are the descendants of those sons. So the leaders of Israel, the heads of the families who were the tribal leaders in charge of those who were counted, made offerings. They brought as their gifts before the Lord 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, an ox from each leader and a cart from every 2. These they presented before the tabernacle. The Lord said to Moses, "Accept these from them, that they may be used in the work at the tent of meeting. Give them to the Levites, so as each man's work requires." Okay. So, I'm going to carry on a little bit further down. Verse 10. When the altar was anointed, the leaders brought their offerings for its dedication and presented them before the altar. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Each day, one leader is to bring his offering for the dedication of the altar." Okay. So then we carry on. It says, the one who brought, and I do apologise now for any mispronunciation that I might make with the various names that come up. I'm just going to try and read them as though I'm very confident, and if they're wrong, they're wrong. But anyway. So the one who brought his offering on the first day was Nahshon, son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. His offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels and 1 silver sprinkling bowl weighing 70 shekels, both according to the sankri shekel, each filled with fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. 1 gold dish weighing 10 shekels filled with incense. 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering. 1 male goat for a sin offering. And 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and the 5 male lambs a year old to be sacrificed as a fellowship offering. This was the offering of Nahshon, son of Amminadab. So, okay, I'm reading this. And then we go on. On the next day, Nethaneel, son of Zur, the leader of Issachar, brought his offering. The offering he brought was 1 silver plate, 130 shekels. And this is the point where I start to struggle. Where, I don't know about you, but I'm okay when I'm reading the Word of God. When I'm reading the Word of God and there's a narrative, there's a strong narrative, there's a strong story, and you get inside the story and you can go along with it. But when I start to read these passages of Scripture, that's where my enthusiasm kind of wanes a little bit and my momentum drops and my focus will kind of take a turn. And, you know, I looked at this and I thought, oh, here we go. A lot more detail. And then I remembered at this point, a little while ago, when I was reading Leviticus, where there's a lot of detail about different types of offerings and purification of food and regulations for skin disorders and laws and punishment and all those things that are quite difficult to read about. And I found myself really, you know, actually losing the plot, quite literally. And I felt then that God spoke to me, and I wrote something down in my journal at the time. So I will just read what God said to me. I've written down here, I'm continuing reading through Leviticus and I'm finding it hard going, finding it hard to see the relevance in it. But God has said to me, it's not exciting to you at this moment. It's not speaking directly to you, but it's still my word and it's still important. You might feel where you are in life is a bit like this. It's not particularly exciting and you're asking, what are you doing, God? But I am at work. And like you are plodding through Leviticus, it's important you keep going through it in order, doing the things required, staying disciplined, staying in touch. I am at work. I am in the detail. Even though you don't understand it, even though you can't fathom it, I am at work. I know what I'm doing. Keep reading and keep moving forward. So, and don't get me wrong, you know, I've ebbed and flowed over reading my Bible for so much, but I've, you know, I come back, I'm in Numbers, I'm reading this and I'm finding myself thinking, oh, here we go, here's a lot more detail that I'm going to struggle with. But I remembered what I'd written in my journal about reading Leviticus, so I thought, okay, now I'm going to keep going with this chapter. I'm not going to lose concentration. I'm going to focus on this detail because I expect that there's some differences here. You've got all the leaders of the tribes of Israel bringing their different offerings. There's going to be something different that they bring, and there's going to be significance in that. So I'm going to read, and I'm going to get it. So I was sort of, you know, positive going on. And then actually, I carried on. So verse 13 to 17, we read about the first offering brought by the leader of the tribe of Judah. Verses 18 to 23 is the leader from the tribe of Issachar. And verses 24 to 29, the leader of the tribe of Zebulun. You get all of the detail of the offerings they bring. And what I discovered is that each of those 12 paragraphs is word for word exactly the same. And I hadn't realised that before. I mean, you may be looking at me thinking, well, didn't you realise that, Alison? Didn't you know that? How long have you been a Christian? But obviously what I've done is I've skimmed over that before and not really focused on it. And this time I read it and I thought, it's absolutely exactly the same. And so I thought, well, why didn't the writer of Numbers just say, each of the 12 leaders of the tribes brought blah, 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 each of them brought blah, each of them so many rams, so many lambs, you know. Why did we have to read all of that all the way through, all those paragraphs, all exactly the same? And then I felt what God was saying to me was, repetition is a good thing. And I was slightly challenged this morning when Rich said, you know, we mustn't go through the motions. We don't want to, you know, it's about not doing the same thing for the sake of it. But actually, what I'm saying to you is that repetition sometimes is a good thing. And I know Rich said at the end of the meeting, you know, we have to keep persisting. And I feel this is what God was speaking to me about with regard to praying and with regard to interceding, particularly for others, that we have to be prepared to be in it for the long haul. And that, you know, I've got here that, you know, in our intercessory prayer times every third Wednesday, we have been faithfully praying for our prodigals. Those of us in our church who have family members who once walked with God, we've been praying for the husbands of the ladies here whose family, whose husbands have never known, never walked with God. We've been praying faithfully. We've brought friends and family as they've been on our hearts at that at the time to pray for. And we've been praying faithfully for our next generation, for our children who are part of our church, for our youth, and for the younger members of our church, you know. And there are times when, you know, I've had the privilege, God laid it on my heart to start those groups, and I've had the privilege of facilitating those times. And there have been times when we've come together and I've said, well, here are all the names on the table. Here we go again, really. You know, we're going to be praying the same prayers. And I've almost felt like I'm apologising for the fact that we're doing that. But actually, you know, our hearts are unchanged. Our hearts are still to see those prodigals come back to God. Our hearts are still to see our unsaved family and friends come to know Jesus. And our hearts are for our young people to take us, you know, to take the next generation forward. And so, yes, we do, of course, we carry on and we keep praying. We do the same thing. We keep praying for those that God has laid on our heart because, and I just felt really excited reading these passages. And God said to me, you know, repetition is a good thing. Don't tire of the detail. And so we won't read through, but I can assure you that it's all exactly the same in all of these verses until we get to verse 84. And then I love this bit because it all adds up. And everything is added together. So it says, these were the offerings of the Israelite leaders for the dedication of the altar when it was anointed. 12 silver plates, 12 silver sprinkling bowls, and 12 gold dishes. Each silver plate weighed 130 shekels, and each sprinkling bowl 70 shekels. Altogether, the silver dishes weighed 2,400 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. The 12 gold dishes filled with incense weighed 10 shekels each, according to the sanctuary shekel. Altogether, those gold dishes weighed 120 shekels, and it goes on, you know, we get the total number of rams and goats and all the rest of it, and it all adds up. And I just felt God spoke to me with that phrase, it all adds up, because it comes back to, in the Draw the Circle book on day 12, talks about seeing the potential of our faith like a seed. And I feel that like prayer is like that every prayer that we are bringing back to God time and time again had a first prayer. That's the genealogy of that first prayer. And it's like it's buried and it has to germinate and it needs to be watered. And as we keep praying, that's what we're doing. We're watering. It's like we're watering that first prayer and we keep coming back and we keep repeating. But the repetition of our prayers is important. It may feel like nothing is happening. We're not seeing any difference. But we must not give up, because we are watering that seed and we're watering our faith, if you like. And God is at work, because in the end it all adds up. And what I really love is in verse 89 of chapter 7, it says, when Moses entered the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from between the two cherubim above the atonement cover on the Ark of the Testimony. And he spoke with him. And then God spoke with Moses, you know, and he spoke with him. And those last words said kind of two things to me, that at the appointed time, in God's perfect time, God will speak. God will do what is required. God will bring salvation, because he is sovereign and he knows the perfect time, you know, and it's for us to keep praying and asking and circling in prayer and being persistent, because eventually it will all add up. All those prayers will add up, and God will speak and God will bring the salvation. God will bring our prodigals back. God will bring salvation. And the other thing I felt is that when we get into God's word and we listen for his voice, and as we meditate on his word, he will speak. He spoke to me through this passage. You know, he will speak to us when we get into his word, and it's so important that we come into God's presence. And I love on day 24, from referring back to Draw the Circle, and I just go into my journal notes. On day 24, we're told in the book there that we all have a unique voice print, not just physically but spiritually as well, and that God wants to speak through each of us differently to anyone else. That our life is a unique translation of Scripture. And we are called to be a prophetic voice to the people that God places in our lives. And the key to discovering your prophetic voice is to cultivate a prophetic ear. And to cultivate a prophetic ear and to find your prophetic voice, we need to hear the voice of God. And I don't know about you, but I just find, you know, we live in such a chaotic world, don't we? And we have information overload, and we have information coming at us, and we have access to so much information. And in our culture, everybody wants to be heard, and everybody, I think I've put down here, I don't know whether I read this in the book or not, but you know, we live in a culture in which everybody wants to be heard, but many people have nothing to say. You know, there's so much vying for our attention, and it's hashtag this, and it's listen to that, and it's read this, and there's an awful lot of good out there. And there are Christian books, and I love to read Christian books, and I love to listen to podcasts, you know, and part of me has felt like, you know, I'm not watching anywhere near as much television rubbish, and what I'm doing is reading books, and I'm listening to good things. But actually, sometimes even that is just, you don't, there's so much, and it's other people's opinions. And actually, what God has been saying to me anyway, and I would encourage us all, is that there's nothing actually quite like reading his word and spending time actually thinking. It doesn't matter whether you can follow a program, and if that helps to just kind of tick off, and you know, you're working through and you're reading scripture in an order, that's fine. But don't be a slave to you have to do it at a certain day. Don't be a slave that you've got to get it done in a year. I would just encourage you to read and take time and listen to what God has to say, because we come into his presence when we read his word, and that's when we get to hear God's voice. God will speak to us through his word. So just to come into land, really, I feel that when we pray, the more we pray, if we keep repeating our prayers, that God gives us a prophetic insight for the people we're praying for, you know. And I felt that when we've come together corporately to pray, when we do that on our Wednesdays, when we pray as a group of us, as we pray, we are repeating the same things, but as we do that, God gives us prophetic insight, different things that we can pray through those same prayers, different things that come to mind, and the Holy Spirit prompts us. So as we pray, the byproduct of intercessory prayer is that prophetic insight, which gives us more to pray and gives us that encouragement to keep praying. And then at the same time, as we read God's word, then we hear his voice, and we have that prophetic voice to take out to a world that is just so in need of God. You know, I find myself feeling so helpless, and just thinking, how on earth can we make a difference? And yet there's a world out there that is so in need, and we have to listen to God's word. And I feel that all of this adds up to be in a position to be ready to partner with God for the furthering of his kingdom, for doing what God wants us to do at this time. And I loved, I just was struck by a couple of the words of the songs from this morning, that where it said, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders," that little bit goes on to say, "Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander." You know, we need to go deeper. We need to go deeper into God's word. We need to go deeper with our prayers. And my faith will be made stronger in God's presence, in the presence of our Saviour. And that's really all that I wanted to share. Just that God has spoken to me through his word, that it was exciting at the time. And I look forward to what he's going to say next. And I would encourage you to read, to really spend time. And all those other things are great, devotionals, everything. If it helps you get into the word, that's great. But for me, anyway, I feel God is saying, just read his word and hear what I have to say. Yeah. Amen.